Fourth and final hour on this Wednesday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside. Predators are on their way back from Edmonton. They'll be back later today, and they will host the Anaheim Ducks tomorrow night. So Willie D will be back in the saddle with us tomorrow. Right now, though, we say hello to somebody who is fantastic at what they do. We enjoy his work. He's Kevin Harlan. He will be on the radio call for the Titans-Chiefs AFC Championship game for Westwood One. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to be on with you guys.
Well, it has been a lot of fun in this market. I have to be honest. We've admitted that throughout many, patches of the regular season, I don't think any of us really thought we were going to be sitting here talking about an AFC Championship game that would involve the Titans, but here they are.
Well, you and everybody else. I mean, they were 2-4. They make the change of quarterback. Tannehill's resume had been what it was, and you knew certainly there are some very good parts to that team, but boy, they collected themselves and made this terrific run to finish off the year, and just got terrific performances right on down the line. They're playing with house money right now. There can't be an ounce of pressure on them. I'm sure they feel like they've gone through a gauntlet already with a victory at Foxborough and then at Baltimore, and now you've got Arrowhead and Kansas City, which will be every bit as difficult, if not more so, than those two previous venues. So it's going to be a battle, but I think they come in and let it rip. I don't think they're going to have any kind of they will not blink at all. If they were going to blink, it would have happened already. Now I think they're just saying, can you believe our good fortune? We're ahead of schedule and playing so well, so let's see where it takes us. And that should make for a very interesting game in Kansas City Sunday.
Wouldn't it be fitting if Ryan Tannehill ended up in the Super Bowl in Miami as the quarterback for the Titans?
You know, he was almost more of a victim of just mismanagement and bad drafts and everything else. They just didn't surround him with the kind of players they should have. And that's an indictment on the franchise. Tannehill wasn't the problem, clearly. Yeah, the problem was in the front office, the people that were drafting, the people that were coaching. And he went through all those coordinators and coaches, and it was just a revolving door. So that was a dysfunctional situation there. And he comes to the Titans with a solid foundation. And I think it has paid off. It just shows what he can do. Plus, you know, he's learned a lot, too, in his years in the league. He's not a rookie anymore. He's not a young player anymore. He's a guy in mid-career, and he's seen a lot and gone through a lot. And I don't think anyone ever doubted his talent. It was just the right situation, and certainly he's found that now.
And on the other side for Kansas City, you got this young, dynamic quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, who was the MVP last year, and you've covered a lot of games and you've been around this league for a long time. It is pretty interesting where it seems like the league is certainly trending toward these Deshaun Watsons, Lamar Jacksons, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, even though he's a veteran and been around for a while. But I feel like the days of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers, kind of like those big arm, big frame, but statue quarterbacks are kind of going by the wayside, aren't they?
Well, you know, the college game and the pro game are becoming more alike every day. And what the pros are finding out is what the college coaches found out a long time ago. You don't have those kids a lot in the classroom. They're in, the buildings on campus getting their degree. And there's a limit how much you can work with these kids during the week in practice and what kind of time commitment you're going to get. Well, the same now is true in the NFL. When you've got endless hours every day to prepare and to coach and quarterback schools in the off season, and you've got those guys in your facility from the beginning of February right on through the end of the season, you can do some things that are a little bit more defined and disciplined, and you don't have to shoot from the hip as much. But when you're dealing with a limited time quarterback school now in the NFL, unfortunately, because the agreement the players signed, not near the hours, you're training a lot on your own, you don't have to be in there until the spring. These coaches are losing a lot of time. You can't hit in practice anymore, so that's gone. So you've got to find out new ways to do it, and because we've seen so many college coaches go to the pros and and vice versa, we're seeing, you know, the system's looking alike, and you can do more with a quarterback on the run and let him improvise and everything else. And it just seems to me that now these kids are leaving high school playing flag football, and all they're doing is running, using different places to throw the ball and running themselves. And I would agree with you. The game is changing. The stationary quarterback is going to be a thing of the past. The Joe Flaccos, the Tom Brady's, that's not going to work anymore. You've got to have a guy like Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson. And you mentioned Russell Wilson, who is kind of ahead of his time, but is also blended in some traditional quarterbacking that has made his career almost, a certainty to get in the Hall of Fame. He's the case in point. I would imagine now these young quarterbacks are not going to look at just standing in the pocket anymore. They're going to make sure that they can move and they're nimble and quick. Because as a couple coaches have told us throughout the season, like you just said, that is the direction of the NFL at that position.
No doubt about it. Kevin Harlan on the line with us. Another position that has been really special here, but I feel like the league has been trying to de-emphasize it, or at least front offices, over the last couple of years, is the running back position, because there have been some big contracts that have been doled out, and a lot of them haven't worked out just because it's hard when you've got that running back that gets a lot of action and it feels like the shelf life is pretty short. But what Derrick Henry has done this year has been special, to say the least.
It has been. It's a bit of a gamble. There's no doubt about it, because there's going to be an expiration date on what he can provide this season and what he can provide in his career. History would tell you that that kind of punishment, those kind of carries, the way he runs the ball, does not mean a long career. And it's taken him this long to, over the last couple of years, to discover just how deadly he can be running the ball. He heats up the clock. He instills confidence in his linemen. You give time for your quarterback to do other things. I mean, on paper, it looks great. And what he's done has been phenomenal and at the core of why the Titans are where they are. But history would tell you that he's going to run out of gas. He's going to get beat up. And what he's done these last 2 weeks has just been remarkable. And I have no reason to think that he wouldn't continue on. But at the same time, I'm sure that staff is very mindful that every time he touches that ball is another check mark. And it's just, like I said, you look back at the history of these great running backs, carrying that much with that kind of a body, carrying that kind of weight, it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see how long this lasts. I would love it to last forever, and I would love that the running game would become more potent. I don't know if you can, be the kind of team that San Francisco has been or the team that Baltimore was at 14 wins this season and not have a running attack. And those teams would probably tell you, if we can't run the ball, we're not nearly as good. Certainly Tennessee would say that too. But there's only one guy doing it in Tennessee. And in San Francisco, you've got three guys. In Green Bay, you've got two guys. In Baltimore, you've got four guys, including the quarterback. So a lot is on Henry's shoulders, and I'm sure they are very cognizant of just what kind of role he has played, how important he is, and at the same time, knowing how much wear and tear is going on that body. It's the most interesting story right now in the playoffs for sure, and hopefully it will continue. But this is a somewhat of a gamble to rely so much on one guy, because he's getting the ball a lot and he's taking hits every time he touches the ball.
We're talking to Kevin Harlan. He'll be on the radio call for Westwood One in the AFC Championship between the Titans and the Chiefs. And building on that point we were talking about with Derrick Henry, and then even going back to Ryan Tannehill, I think the biggest difference with the Titans' offense and their success now is they finally can say they have multiple go-to guys. It's not just Derrick Henry, even though he's the biggest part of the offense and has been over the last few weeks, but the rookie A.J. Brown has impressed everybody with his year, going over 1,000 yards and his yards after catch. Is that something that you've seen? I know you saw him against the Colts, of just being able to spread the ball around a lot more.
Yep, you see it in Jonnu's catch and Khalif and what he did with that incredible reception and an early game touchdown in Baltimore. That was as good a catch as I've seen. The way he had to get that, the ball was perfectly thrown, but Khalif's catch was terrific. And we've all loved Brown. Brown is absolutely everything about him. And your offensive line, your tackles, you're starting the rookie Nate Davis. I mean, everything about the team says that they're probably ahead of schedule. They've kind of discovered the right temperament, the right kind of mix of run and pass. I wish they were getting a little bit more from Deion Lewis. I wish there was another running back in there that could carry it 10 to 12 times. It would make a gigantic difference for Henry. It would extend his shelf life. But clearly he is there. And listen, I don't want to minimize what Ryan has done, because Tannehill, who I've always enjoyed and liked and have met with him several times in person with CBS, he seems to me to be a very even keel guy. Like, all these quarterbacks are like that. They never get too high. They never get too low. That kid has always been positive, even in the face of issues in Miami. And it's great to see him in a situation where it seems to be very settled. It's defined. He's got some parts around him, and you've rattled off a couple. I am a fan of what they've done, and hope they can continue. And while the thrust may be the running back, and that's never going to go away, and that's what's gotten you to where you are, the other parts have been just enough and effective enough that they can't just gang up on the back. They've got to watch out for these other guys too. We saw Johnny Smith in Indianapolis, Rich Gannon and I did. And going into that game, I remember Rich a couple times saying, look how athletic this kid is. Look at, like, I think they did maybe a jet sweep or some kind of a run or short pass, and he had to kind of move in a small area. And those are the kind of guys that really the league doesn't know about. They don't know about those kind of players. Brown has been great and is going to make sure that we're going to count on him and talk about him a lot as we go along. But there are some hidden jewels on that team that people really don't know about. There are veterans in the secondary. They're getting some good play, certainly from your draft, the rookie Long out of West Virginia and Harold. I mean, you go right on down the line. There are just guys there that I don't think the league knows that much about, but have really been a part of this overall story. So I would agree with you. There are a lot of parts, but there's only one Patrick Mahomes. There's only one Derrick Henry. There's only one Aaron Rodgers. You've got to have a focal point, and that's yours. And Nashville is number 22.
Kevin, you've been doing this for a long time, and I know, you know, as you prep for a game, you get the chance to talk to coaches and players. And one thing that the players have all told us about Mike Vrabel is they kind of take on his personality. How much of Mike Vrabel, the player, have you been able to see in Mike Vrabel, the coach?
Well, probably 100%, to be quite honest. You know, Mike has always been a very self-assured, very confident guy. I always felt that he thought that he probably was the best prepared in the room, knew exactly what had to be done, but there was always that little bit of feel not a macho, but there's something there about him that, like, he's like, you'd have to say, well, the guy obviously played pro football. Some of these coaches you wouldn't say that. With this guy, you definitely say that. He has that persona, and I think the players do kind of reflect that. And, you know, listen, let's never minimize what he learned and absorbed while in New England with Belichick, and then had with Bill down in Houston. I mean, this guy has been in that system and knows where all the skeletons have skeletons in that system. And that has helped him and propelled him very quickly along this very successful coaching path he has. And you watch him on the sideline, he's invigorated, he thinks like a player and a coach. And that's kind of a rarity. He knows exactly what these players need to hear, and you can tell it by when he talks to them and when he's talked to us. But there is an aura about him. There is a presence. There's no doubt about that I think really transforms those players into feeling, I've got a guy who knows what he's doing. He's had his hand on the steering wheel. He's out there. He's run the same things I've had to do. And I think there is a competence. And I believe when I get this coaching scouting report on Wednesday morning, I believe it. And when he says be here, I'm going to be there. When he says be over there, I'm going to be over there. I just think there's that trust that sometimes you don't get from head coach to players. But I definitely think it's incredibly evident with the Titans.
Last thing, Kevin, with your extensive background in the NBA, I'm sure you're aware that New Orleans has announced that Zion Williamson will make his debut a week from today. That's going to be a shot in arm for that franchise, huh? Everybody's been waiting for that.
Well, shot in arm for the NBA, too. They've been, we've got all these games on national TV where there's, the only reason why we're putting them on is because of Zion Williamson. He's not even playing. So it's been hard to kind of really build up some of these other players who are good. Certainly you can't be in that league and not be good, but the reason why they're on ESPN or TNT is because of Zion, and they had all these games scheduled, and sure enough, the kid's not playing. Well, now he's going to come back, and that's going to be huge, I think, for the basketball fans who, when this kid came in the league, I mean, there are people that say we haven't had a player that's entered the league with this kind of hoopla since LeBron, because he can do a lot of those same things. So what we saw at Duke last year, I think, is going to be what we probably will get a peek at this year. He may not be his full self until he gets, out of this season, a full summer of work, and into the camp next year. But we're going to get a glimpse of it, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see him play. I'm happy for the kid, happy for that organization, because they lost Anthony Davis. Davis left on his own accord, and this is going to be hopefully a kid that wants to invest in the team and the city, and it would be great if it's a success for him. I'm rooting for him. I can't wait to watch him in person myself. I'm looking forward to it.
No doubt about it. Kevin, really appreciate the visit. Enjoy the game in Kansas City on Sunday, and we'll talk to you down the road.
I look forward to it. Thank you, guys. Hopefully we'll see you in Miami.
All right. That sounds good. Kevin Harlan will be on the call. Westwood One for the Titans and the Chiefs AFC Championship game in Kansas City. Also does great work with CBS. We will come back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.